Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Baseball is back.
I want to see some real games.
The season is going to be different.
They've been given a gift with this 60-game schedule.
On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands, there's a lot to talk about.
There's a stunning development.
And this is the place to do
it. Tony, you know, he talks, I listen.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wine, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sam, what were your thoughts on seeing Mookie Betts sign that deal yesterday with the Dodgers?
Yeah, that was mixed emotions. You know, obviously, we think the world of Mookie Betts. I don't think that's a secret to anybody. Incredible young person, young man, incredible baseball player. Very happy for him and his family. And, you know, I'd be less than honest if I didn't say a sense of disappointment and maybe closure and finality to it. But look, we have a plan. We are very confident in the direction of our baseball operation. But it's obviously hard to see Mookie Betts sign a long-term deal somewhere else. So we wish him well, and we now move on as a group.
Again, Sam Kennedy, president of the Red Sox, with that comment this afternoon about Mookie Betts. I'm surprised he went on to the length he did, to talk about Mookie Betts, who, again, was traded to the Dodgers months ago. It was February, wasn't it? Is that when the Red Sox traded him, right before the start of spring training? Because I was fairly certain. I remember thinking at the time, they're not going to show up at spring training, bring Mookie in there, and then all of a sudden trade him away. I just don't see that they're going to do it. He's not going to show up at all. I'm pretty sure it was before the start of spring training they traded him to the Dodgers. And now, 13 years, 392 for Mookie Betts. But again, I found Sam Kennedy's comment on it interesting. When Sam Kennedy says, closure. I'm wondering if that's how Red Sox fans feel a little bit about this whole thing. And I mean that seriously. Look, you know how I feel about the whole Mookie Betts story. I'm not going to hit you over the head with all of my sentiments about who's to blame, but I would love to hear from you on whether you feel the way Sam Kennedy does. Again, closure. Because that suggests to me that the Red Sox were holding out some measure of hope that maybe Mookie Betts could be on the market and they could lure him back here. That's what I wonder about. Now, again, if they were, it was 1%. And I'll admit that, Murray, I don't know how you felt, but when COVID hit and that story came out that if the season were wiped out, Mookie Betts would still be a free agent, I allowed myself to think for a minute, well, wait a minute now. If Mookie hits the market again, he's a free agent and the price has come down and the Red Sox offered him the 10 and 300 again, would he come back? Like, we would get a real test of the argument there, because if Mookie were willing to take the money, then he certainly had no issues about coming back to Boston. You follow me?
Yeah, but I thought once they traded him, he was gone. He was never going to come back. I know there was that weird little loophole, and the Dodgers could have had egg on their face, and it would have been funny, but I just think that that's kind of that feeling you have when someone leaves or breaks your heart, and you're like, well, they could come back. You know, if now that they've broken up with their next guy, they could come back to me. Like, that's never going to happen. It never works out that way. Betts was gone in February.
So I admit that, again, for an instant, when I saw that story, I went, holy crap. He could end up back here still. I wouldn't rule that out. Now, as time has gone on, that it faded, and I, like you, I sort of wrote it off. But the way Sam Kennedy put it, closure. I mean, it does kind of seal the deal now. 13 years in L.A. 13 years Mookie Betts is going to get in L.A. So I want to get to that. And there's a lot of elements to that story that we didn't get into last night because it was fresh. And I personally think that he was never going to re-sign here. That's my personal opinion. I don't know whether you agree or not. But with Major League Baseball set to begin tonight, and again, the Yankees are at the Washington Nationals, the reigning world champions will host the team that feels like the prohibitive favorite in the American League, and the Yankees, the Dodgers are the favorite in the National League. They'll play later tonight against the San Francisco Giants. So the two big dogs, The Yankees and the Dodgers right out of the gate on opening night here for Major League Baseball. You can watch both games on ESPN if you're into that. And I can tell you, I'm going to be watching weather permitting in Washington. Anthony Fauci will be throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. Again, sign of the times and a worthy guy at the same time. He's a Nationals fan. So that's sort of a cool little element to it. And in the event you didn't hear, a couple of news items. Baseball expanded the playoff structure just for this year. 16 teams will get in. 16 teams will get into the postseason. You're telling me the Red Sox can't get into the playoffs with 16 teams? Eight in the American League? Eight out of the 15 in the American League? The Red Sox better get into the postseason. To me, that just opened the door for them. With or without Eduardo Rodriguez, who's the other part of the news today. Eduardo Rodriguez has had a setback in his return, and it is related to COVID. And Jimmy, I'm putting you on the spot here. Jimmy Stewart, our producer. Renicky 1 that is in the system talking about Eduardo Rodriguez. And Jimmy went through the effort of endeavoring to grab all of Renicky's comments pregame. This is Ron Renicky, acting Red Sox manager, talking about Eduardo Rodriguez and his status right now.
In Eddie's case, they have discovered some minor complications with him. But because of it, we're taking everything very seriously in this matter. And we're going to shut Eddie down from baseball activities for a period of time. We're going to reevaluate him in a week to see where he's at. And like I said, it's a mild case, but it's still serious enough to where we feel like to do the right thing with our players and to take care of them. But this is a decision that our doctors and Chaim and his crew and all of us have come up.
So look, as it pertains to Eddie Rodriguez, I'm frustrated. I feel like I saw some of this coming with some of these guys who are a little late getting to camp. And again, reside in these in the Caribbean nations where I just think that they're more vulnerable to COVID-19. And I questioned also how disciplined a lot of these guys would be under the circumstances, not just in the Caribbean, but all over, because it felt to me like a lot of guys didn't want to play baseball. And I don't feel like Devers came in shape. I feel like Eduardo Rodriguez was probably loose. But all of that aside, if Eduardo Rodriguez doesn't have stamina because of COVID-19, I wouldn't mess with that either. But I do think it raises the question of whether the Red Sox will have their best pitcher, their best starter, for the at least the first half of this, abbreviated season. Because he's going to miss a week. Games start tomorrow. They're shutting him down for a week, and then they'll see where he is. It's going to take him a couple of weeks at least to get back up to speed. And in a 60-game schedule, that's almost half the season. So, and yet, I still think they can be one of the top eight. Okay, so that's where they are with Eduardo Rodriguez. So, honestly, given all the things that are going on in Major League Baseball, I want to hear from everybody tonight on a little bit of everything. I want to hear how you feel about the return of the game. The Red Sox fortunes or chances in a 60-game schedule now with more teams in the playoffs. Again, eight American League teams will make the postseason. And I also want to continue the discussion on Mookie Betts, which brings me to this. The Mookie Betts press conference, in the event you didn't watch it, I did. It ran about 30 minutes. I watched and listened. It was a Zoom call, as everything is now. And Mookie said a bunch of things on this thing, the large majority of which drove me crazy because I just think, frankly, the guy doesn't want to tell the truth. And I understand why, but I also find it to be completely disingenuous. There were some things he said in this press conference that I thought were honest. And that's the stuff I liked. The other stuff I didn't like. So this is Mookie, the very first question. Jimmy, we'll go in order. This is Mookie number one. He was asked when he first came to understand or think that there was an opportunity to re-sign with the Dodgers. Here's your answer.
When did you think this was a real possibility? When did things start to come into focus?
I think I kind of kept my head down and was just playing baseball. And then, the opportunity kind of came. And I don't even remember when. But I just know that I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just kind of focusing on playing each and every day and getting myself ready.
Okay, the opportunity came and I don't really know when. Do you believe that? Murray, do you believe that? Do you believe that for a second?
No, that was an act.
Oh, it's a total lie. It's a blatant total lie. Are you kidding me? That's like asking a baseball player, hey, do you know you got over 300 last night? You went from, you know, 298 to 302?
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Jeez, I didn't even know that. I really don't track my batting average. No, oh, bull crap. Please, you get traded to a new team, and then they tell you they want to sign you for 13 years, and they want to give you $392 million, and you don't remember when that is? Murray, if someone offered you $392 million, would you remember when the pivotal moment was?
I'd have it marked on every calendar I could.
Oh, God, it's such a lie. Oh, it's such a lie. And you know why he said, oh, geez, I don't even remember? Because my guess is there was tampering. And I'm not saying that I want the deal reversed, or I'm not saying anything stupid like that. But typically in these sorts of scenarios, you know what happens? We want the player. We want to sign the player. Let's make it clear to the agent that we want it, and we're serious. We want to talk turkey when he gets here. So Mookie Betts knew the Dodgers were going to sign him. And you know what? The conversation started in March before COVID. Wouldn't surprise me if they had the framework of a deal in March before COVID. He didn't know when it happened. Oh, please, what a load of crap that is. Mookie, number two. Mookie, when you sign a deal like this, do you feel the burden of responsibility to be more of a leader, to be more of a central figure? Here's that exchange.
I was just kind of wondering, you know, when you sign a contract like this, does that increase, like, your sense of responsibility at all, you know, to be that leader, to be kind of that role model for younger players that Andrew talked about earlier?
No, I mean, you know, I am who I am. You know, I don't want to be any more than who I am, and you know, if it's setting an example, then it's setting an example, and if it's, you know, just kind of falling in line, then it's falling in line. And so I'm not really overly concerned with having to step in and be a leader now. I'm here to win some rings, bring some rings back to LA, and that's what that's all I'm focused on.
More dog food, more complete dog food and bull crap. No responsibility comes with the biggest contract extension in the history of the game. No responsibility? If I'm the Dodgers and I heard that one, I go, wait a minute. Hold on. No, there is a little responsibility that comes with that. There is. Sorry, just by the nature of the world. The way the world is. When you're the highest paid guy on the team and you have the biggest contract, again, the biggest extension, and Jim Murray pointed this out last night before I read any of the stories, and Murray picked it up quickly and he's nails on it. He was dead on, balls accurate, as they say. That the Mike Trout extension was for $360 million. Trout had $66 million left on his contract, so his extension, his new contract, was worth $360 million. Mookie Betts got $365 million. It took him two more years. Trout's deal was 10 years, $360 million, onto the two he already had. In Mookie's case, it was 12 years at $365 million. Not a coincidence. His agents wanted to be able to say, we got the biggest contract slash extension in the history of the game. And Mookie's going to say, no responsibility? I'll put a sock in it, please. That's, again, talk about, if I'm the Dodgers, I look at that one and go, dude, there's a little more responsibility here. You don't get to sign for 13 years and cash the checks and not have some responsibility. Which really relates to one other thing that he said. So, Jimmy, let's go to number five, because these sort of go hand in hand. No responsibility. And then he was asked about really being now the centerpiece and the face of the Dodgers.
Jackie Robinson was once the face of this organization. With this contract, you'll be the face of the organization. Does that mean anything special to you?
I mean, it's obviously a blessing to be a part of such a rich, you know, history the history in this organization. But, you know, I'm not looking to be the face. I'm just looking to come in and do my job. Like I said, bring some rings back to L.A. And you know, kind of help the guys that are up and coming. So, you know, if it takes being the face, then sure, I'll bring it on. But, you know, that's not my goal.
Tell you again, if I'm the Dodgers, I'm pissed off at this.
That part I believe, though.
I'm pissed off at some of the answers. I don't want to be the face of the organization. I don't want the responsibility that goes along with the contract. So this is the one part about Mookie where he said the one thing he always wanted was the fair value. So he plays for the money. Right? He plays for the money. Now that he has his money, is he going to be the same player? I don't know. I mean, maybe he is. He plays the game with a lot of energy. And so, but if I were the Dodgers, I'd be looking at this going, this guy just wanted the check. That's all he wanted. Did he really want us or did he want the check? And the Dodgers' role in this thing, I question how they handle themselves too. Because I'm not sure the Dodgers were in much of a negotiating position as much as I thought they were. And when I say that, I mean that I thought the Dodgers held all the cards. Mookie Betts in a pandemic. What's he going to do, go sign a one-year deal with someone else? Turns out the Dodgers thought that maybe he would have, I guess, because they completely flipped over the bank account for him. They gave this guy a massive deal when he wasn't going to have much of a market, or at least not the same market, in a free agency. So I want to touch on some of Andrew Friedman's comments as well. We'll get to your phone calls, I promise. I've babbled enough on the baseball reporters. We'll be right back.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If the Red Sox had offered you any kind of similar deal, is that something that you would have taken, or is the fact that it's with this team and this city play into it at all?
I think it's a very valid question. I think I just want to stick with, I'm here in L.A., for 12, 13 years. I'm super excited about this opportunity. Like I said, the goal is to bring back some rings over this period of time, and that's what I'm going to be here and work for.
Again, that's Mookie Betts last night. That was sort of the money comment, really, from the press conference, which was about 25, 30 minutes long. He wouldn't answer it. He wouldn't answer it, point blank. If the Red Sox had made you this offer, would you have signed? Well, you know. Now, what makes it a great question is that Mookie couldn't answer it without pissing someone off. If he says, yes, I would have taken it, the Dodgers are looking at him going, really? You mean you'd have taken it and screwed us over? So you don't love us as much as you told us for the last 25 minutes? And if he says no, then the whole idea, everything he's been saying up to now, that it's all about fair market value, well, that's just a lie. And it's also a dump on the Red Sox. And I think he didn't want to play here. Honestly, I'm not convinced he wants to play in L.A. Maybe it was all about the highest bidder. Maybe it's that simple with Mookie Betts. But I can tell you this. He didn't care enough about playing in Boston to want to stay here. Doesn't make him a bad guy. I'm just telling you that that's what the fact is. If he had been Xander Bogaerts, he would have stayed. Bogaerts stayed. Took a little less. And I'm not telling you that one way's right or wrong. It's all about what your value system is. In the case of Mookie, he went for the money. Bob and Methuen, I think, believes that I have an issue with Mookie. Go ahead, Bob.
Tony, I'm beginning to wonder if at some point in time he stole your car. I mean, the Red Sox botched the trading of Betts terribly.
How do we know?
How do we know? Do you not think they could have not received more from other teams if they had handled that situation more correctly?
Okay, so...
Tony, let me ask you this question. How does a team that is desperate for pitching trade one of the top four or five players in the game and do not receive back one of the Dodgers' top pitching prospects in the deal?
So, Bob, I'll tell you what, that's a fair criticism. When you say they botched the trade, I was looking at it from the standpoint of, what if Verdugo and Jeter Downs turn into good players? Maybe they got good return. But your point's fair. Your point is it's fair. They could have and should have gotten pitching. And furthermore, I think he can even go further with it. If they knew they couldn't sign Mookie, and they knew they couldn't sign him, the time to trade him is at the All-Star break in 2019. Because they were teetering on the edge of contention there. Dombrowski didn't add at the deadline. That was the year they added Andrew Cashner, right? Was that Cashner last year? God, that seems like a lifetime ago. Andrew Cashner was their deadline pickup. They should have moved Mookie then. They would have gotten more for him then. So that part is true. You're absolutely 100% right about that. But the whole idea of trading Mookie, he wasn't going to sign here. They weren't going to be able to sign him here, given what they wanted to do. They offered him $10,300. It wasn't enough. Okay, it wasn't enough. They weren't going to give him this contract. I'm not even sure he was, he obviously turned down the $10,300. They were willing to go to a certain distance with him. And I'm not an apologist for ownership. I never have been. I never will be. But the one thing I will say about them, and I'll say it consistently because I believe it to be true, and it's just a plain and simple fact, even if you don't like it. The idea that they are quote-unquote cheap is asinine. Now, you don't like the way they spend their money. They make bad decisions. They don't apply their resources properly. Amen. Fine. Totally fair. 100% on the nose. But they're cheap? Oh, come on. That's stupid. They're not cheap. They've spent billions of dollars on this roster since they've gotten here. They've spent more in the last 20 years than I think the previous ownership spent in its existence. Do not kid yourself on that. You want to criticize them, but don't be stupid about it. Paul's in Abington. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, a lot of points you're hitting on. First and foremost, and I'm a firm believer of this, Mookie Betts is no different than Tom Brady. As much as I hate to bring up all these names because of the mere fact that they're gone, I really don't care anymore. But the fact is that the Red Sox were not going to sign Mookie Betts, maybe at a cheaper, much cheaper rate, but they weren't going to tie one guy up 20%. Potentially 20% of their payroll. They were over the luxury tax. They were getting hammered on that. And especially last year with where they were coming off a championship year, but they didn't do anything near that last year. They wanted to take an about face. Maybe in a few years they'll be back to spending, you know, the hundreds of millions again on certain guys. But for right now, they were not going to sign Mookie Betts. 100% on that.
Okay, so Paul, the thing is, when you say they don't want to spend X percent on their payroll, that's not true either. They gave $31 million to David Price. That's what Mookie's value was in this deal, $31 million. They've done that. They gave Price sale 29, even though the luxury tax number is 25. They gave him 29. So they'll do it. They just didn't want to do it for this guy. And maybe part of it is because they thought he was being unreasonable. He's not signable. But since we're back on Mookie and the things he says, Jimmy, Mookie number four, please. And this is another exchange from the press conference last night relating to the upcoming free agent market and whether or not Betts had concerns about that.
I know when we talked to you the other day, you said you weren't concerned with what the market for free agents might look like after this odd season. Did that at all play into your decision, though?
No, I mean, like I said, the market wasn't what I was worried about. It's just the fair value. That's been my number one thing for my whole career. It's just the value, and that's it. And once we got to that point and being somewhere that I love being, I mean, it's just a match that's perfect.
Okay, so a couple of things here with that comment. First of all, when he says, no, I had no concerns about the market, that's another lie. It's a lie. Everybody had concerns about the market. And we'll get to Andrew Friedman in a little bit. Okay, because the Dodgers clearly didn't have major concerns about the market because they paid out the nose for Mookie Betts. They could have used the market to their advantage. Mookie's lying. I guarantee you his agent said to Mookie, listen, the market's going to come down. So we might not get 420, but if the Dodgers come in with something good, I think you should seriously consider it.
I tell you what, whether he likes it or not, he's now the face of the franchise for at least the first few weeks of this season because the Dodgers just announced they placed Clayton Kershaw on the injured list with back stiffness.
You're kidding?
No.
Okay, so they still have Bellinger. I mean, that team's loaded, right? But Mookie is going to be front and center now, Murray. Thank you for sharing that. So the... But this whole idea of, like, I'm not concerned about the market, that's a lie. Stop. Of course you kept an eye on the market. Who doesn't? What free agent doesn't? The part about fair market value is what's important to me. That I believe. That's one of the more honest things that Mookie said. But then he had to go so far as to say, you know, once I got to a place that I loved, how could you possibly know that you love L.A.? How could you possibly know? What, have you spent 15 minutes there playing with a $300 million contract? Because even if you did like it in the 15 minutes you were there, the relationship's going to change now that they gave you $392 million. I promise you that. Although it is L.A., it is Southern California, where frankly they don't give a rat's ass if you win or lose. They say they do, but they don't. They show up late, they have their Chardonnay and their cheese, and they leave early. That's L.A. Okay, so they may not care. I don't know, maybe the relationship won't change. Good luck out there. But a place I love? Oh, God, please. Shove it. That's a lie. How could you possibly love it? You haven't been there long enough. Jimmy, finally, the last one. I want you to listen especially to the end, folks. Listen to the end. Mookie number six. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Did you ever think in any of that anticipation that you'd be committing yourself to a place for 13 years?
You know,
Pause.
I don't know if I ever thought about 13 years. I do know that this is essentially what I've been doing my whole life and what I've been working towards my whole life.
Payday.
You know, obviously got to thank my parents for being there each and every summer game and all those type of things. And I don't think at any point did we imagine it would be 13 years, but I don't think it's very surprising either. You know, it's obviously a long-term commitment, but I wouldn't want it with anybody else, you know, other than some organization like this.
I wouldn't want it with anybody else other than an organization like this. Huh. Red Sox offered him 10. He said no. And I know everybody says to me all the time, it's about the money. But I wouldn't have wanted it from any organization except one like this. Interesting. So when people say, well, Mookie said this, and you put stock in the words, well, Mookie said this. Well, he said he wouldn't have wanted it from any organization other than one like this one, meaning the Dodgers. How many teams are there really like that, like the Dodgers in Major League Baseball? Well, there really aren't that many. In fact, there might only be two, the Dodgers and the Yankees. Really? I mean, those two are kind of on a level unto themselves, the two most valuable franchises in the league. The only more valuable franchise than the Dodgers is the Yankees. So other than it was for a franchise like this, so maybe Mookie didn't want to play here. Maybe that really was a factor. Maybe the town wasn't big enough for him. I don't know. But it's not like the Red Sox offered him, you know, some recycling money that they picked up at the supermarket when they brought the cans back and, you know, a free subscription to the Boston Globe. They did offer him $300 million over 10 years, and he did better with the Dodgers. But for a guy who kept on saying over and over and over again that he wanted to get to the market, he didn't get to the market. But he told us that the market is not a concern to him anymore. I just hate the bullcrap in those press conferences. Oh, my God, the bullcrap. John Tomasi is going to join us here when we come back. I want to get pick John's brain on the Mookie Betts thing because I honestly don't remember, but I think we got into a heated disagreement about it on television once. I want to talk to John about it again. Here's Murray with your headlines.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What was the reaction you heard around the sport yesterday to the Mookie Betts contract that comes down the day before the start of the season, a $365 million extension?
Greeny, people with other teams were absolutely shocked by the timing of this, given what's going on with COVID, given the fact that they don't even know when there's a vaccine that's going to come in. They don't know when fans are going to be in the stands. And so there was a surprise that the Dodgers spent this kind of money at a time when there's so much uncertainty. Look, Mookie Betts is a respected player. Everyone knows why the Dodgers want to keep him. But the expectation had been among other teams that they would wait and play it out into the offseason. And the thought is that maybe they were far down the road in terms of talking about an extension when COVID shut down the sport.
Buster Olney on ESPN this morning. Got a lot of people surprised by that extension. Came out of nowhere a little bit. I want to get to John Tomasi of NBC Sports Boston, but quickly, Joe in Rhode Island, go ahead on the Betts extension.
Hey, Tony. Everybody's talking about the $392 million total. It's only, if you really, has anybody brought up the fact that it's only $150,000 more per year? He just didn't want to be with the Red Sox.
Okay, so Joe, I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, because the Red Sox offered him $30 million a year. And what is it? $392 over 13 years actually comes in at a little over $31 million, right? So your numbers are a little off. But, it's close. You know, it's $1 million a year difference, but it's also 3 years different. I mean, it's $92 million difference. Let's not sneeze at $92 million. Now you want to start to factor in income tax in California and blah, 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 blah. Then the number gets a little bit closer. The Dodgers offered him more money. I'm not even quibbling over that. I just, you know, I just don't think Mookie wanted to be here. To me, a guy that wants to stay with the team plays ball. And I'm not telling you one way's right or what's wrong. But look at what Xander Bogaerts did. When a guy says, I'm going to free agency, when he says, nope, I want to go to market, he's gone. So the question is, what all of a sudden changed? And maybe it's just that the Dodgers paid out the nose, even in a pandemic. And so when COVID hit, his agent said to Betts, listen, this actually, given the circumstances, this is pretty good. You should take this. He did. But he wasn't willing to do that here. John Tomasi, NBC Sports Boston, joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So, John, let me ask you. I want your general biggest, you know, your general point of view on Betts, certainly. But what's your biggest takeaway from the whole thing?
I think a couple things. One, I'm more in the Tony Mass camp of, as much as I like the player and as great as he is now, I do not think he's a great bet to hold up for 12 or 13 years. I wrote about this over the winter, the history of guys 5'9" who last, they just don't. They break down. You know, you guys have talked about Andrew McCutchen. There's been tons of examples of players. And so I feel like Mookie was a risky bet for that reason. I think the other takeaway for me is Heim Bloom is off the hook because the Red Sox, you heard Sam Kennedy today, we were disappointed, you know, sort of suggesting that they were going to be in the market for him this winter. We know they weren't going to be in the market for him. We know that was going to be fake. And now they don't have to go through the charade of pretending to entertain another offer for Mookie. And can they bring him back? A repeat of John Lester's free agency where they offered $20 million less than the Cubs. And even though they were in second, it was a distant second. And now you still hear to this day, oh, they screwed up with Lester. With Mookie, it was much more of a clean break. They traded him. He signed an extension. We don't have to pretend this winter that he's coming back.
Well, I mean, the offers in their defense, John, the offers on the initial offers on Betts, well, let me rephrase. The offers on Betts were closer than the ones on Lester. They offered Lester $70 million at the beginning. He ended up signing for, you know, $165 million or whatever it was. Like, the offer they made to Lester out of the gate was a joke. It was a joke. With Mookie, you know, they built up to it over the years because he was 3 years away from free agency. But ultimately, the, you know, knowing that he was going to go to market, they offered him $300 million. That is not, it's not nothing.
No, absolutely not. I think they made him a fair offer. And yet I think we all know that it's not an offer he was going to accept just based on the landscape, based on Machado, based on Bryce Harper. They knew that offer was going to be too low. He comes in at 420. It's kind of interesting to see him settle for 360 right in the middle. I firmly believe if the Red Sox had offered him 360, he would have said no. He would have gone to free agency. The story would have had the same ending. They still would have felt they needed to trade him because I don't believe that Betts was a guy like Bogaerts or like Paul Pierce or some of these people who, you know, embrace Boston and want to be Mr. Boston and they really derive an identity from being here. I never got that sense with Betts. Not saying he's a bad guy by any stretch. I think Mookie's a very good guy, a very grounded guy. But to me, he was never going to take a penny less than his value to stay in Boston.
Okay, so this is what I was going to ask you next. And in this case, you actually do agree with me. You don't think Mookie wanted to stay here. It wasn't a priority.
No, I never felt that way. And, you know, it's tough because stuff like the Adams-Jones things happen, and that leaves a taste in players' mouths. And, you know, so there are things that off the field, I'm sure, you know, didn't paint Boston in the greatest light. Mookie's not alone in that situation. But I really think at the end of the day, this is about valuing what he thought he was worth, and he was going to go get it no matter where it had to be. Now, he did counter the Red Sox at 420, so there was a number where he was willing to stay here. There are guys who they are just gone. There is nothing you can offer them to make them stay. He wasn't one of those. That's why I stopped short of saying that he was going to leave absolutely, because he did give the Red Sox a number, and you could argue that it was at the high end of a reasonable number based where the market was headed.
Okay, so you mentioned the Dodgers a little while ago. You said Andrew Friedman's off the hook, and we haven't touched on this part of the story a lot.
Well, I meant because that Heim Bloom was off the hook.
Oh, Heim Bloom was off the hook.
Heim's off the hook because he doesn't have to pretend to go after Mookie this winter.
I'm sorry, when you said off the hook, I thought you meant out of his mind like crazy, and I thought you meant Friedman. So yeah. I you know, and they obviously worked with one another. You said Friedman. You said Bloom. I heard Friedman because I've been obsessed with the Dodgers part of this because I think it's worth asking. This is what Friedman said. And again, this was towards the end of the press conference because most people looked at it and said, well, wait a minute. Mookie's going to free agency now. And in the middle of a pandemic, this market is going to suck. Mookie's not going to get the number he wants anymore. Here was the exchange with Friedman during the press conference.
We all know the world is pretty weird right now. We don't know when fans will be back in the ballpark, so revenues are certainly uncertain. So I'm wondering why and how you were able to make this commitment now, given all that uncertainty, rather than, you know, wait until after the season and see where things shook out.
Yeah, very fair question. I think, you know, from our standpoint, back in March, if you would have said, hey, Mookie wants to sign just a two-year contract, he just wants to sign for 2021 and 2022, what we would have done in March and what we would do now would be very different. But I think from ownership on down, I think this just speaks to the faith we have and things getting back to normal. And obviously this is over a much longer period of time, which helped in that confidence is really high once we, you know, kind of get through this. And fortunately, when you go 12 years, you got nothing but time.
So, John, you understand the logic there. I don't need to explain it to you. But his whole point was, well, this is a long-term deal with Mookie. So we're going to feel the effects of this pandemic in the short term. And, yes, the market is in favor of teams right now. But we want Mookie for 12 years, not 2 years. So we're just going to spend it. We're going to have to spend it either way. We're just spending it now instead of 2 years from now. Do you buy that?
I do buy that, actually. I mean, I likened it in a column the other day to the stock market. Why is the Dow still soaring? Why is the NASDAQ soaring? Because investors are recognizing that the pandemic is hopefully a short-term scenario. So they're looking beyond that. I think the Dodgers are doing the same thing.
I agree with you, John, and I didn't think of it in these terms, and I was wrong not to. I think they've made the right move.
Yeah, but I would say separately, I still think Mookie is too – this is a different issue than the current economic landscape. I just think Mookie is not a great bet for a 12-year deal.
Sure, that's a different argument. Right, that's a different argument. But I meant the market forces, right? I looked at it and said, he's not going to get this money on the market. And the reality is that a team like the Dodgers looks at it and says – No, listen, things are going to be back to normal in 2 or 3 years. And I found that interesting, too, that he said 2021 and 2022, which means that even the Dodgers have done their projections and say we might not be back to full speed in terms of all revenue until 2023. But we want the player now. We have a chance at World Series now because we get a good nucleus. So what the hell's the difference? We're going to have to spend 12 or 13 years worth of money anyway. So whether it's during a pandemic or 2 years down the road, let's just pull the trigger and move on.
Yeah, and I think the one other thing it does, too, is it just continually we are putting the lie to the notion that the owners keep crying poor and there's no revenue and, you know, all of this apocalyptic language about how franchises might fold. I understand the Dodgers are one of the haves. They're not the Cincinnati Reds or the Tampa Bay Rays, but spare me this crying of poor mouth over and over again by baseball owners when the first chance one of them gets, they give a guy $360 million.
All right, John, before I let you go, and I got to make it quick, one question about the Red Sox this year and their chances. They open the season tomorrow night, and that is now with 8 American League teams getting in the playoffs as well as 8 in the National. The teams or players agreed today to that format. I believe it's a formality now that it'll happen. Should the Red Sox make the playoffs this year?
100% yes. I mean, these are the teams that you're going to have to beat out for a playoff spot. The White Sox, the Rangers, the Angels. Those are the teams. Those teams all finished below 500 last year. If you can't beat out those teams, then you don't deserve to be in the postseason.
All right, John, we'll see you later.
All right, you got it.
Okay, John Tomasi, NBC Sports Boston.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.